You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father, we pray now that as we open your word this evening, that you would transform us into your likeness, because we indeed are meeting with a living God, a God who loves and cares for us. May my words not be mine, but yours tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you're here on this, what we call Maundy Thursday. How many of you, I know the first time I heard Maundy Thursday, I thought, why do we call it Maundy Thursday? That's a very odd name. My kids have asked that same question. Is it Maundy or is it Thursday? What are we doing here on Maundy Thursday? The word Maundy, if you don't know, derives from the Latin word mandatum, which we get our word mandate or command from this word Maundy, Thursday. And Jesus tells his disciples today, as he bends down to wash their feet, a new commandment, a new mandate I give you. To love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. We'll get back to that in just a moment and what that command actually means for us. But let's begin by just looking at what we're entering into tonight. Verse 1 of John chapter 13, we see where it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Jesus' public ministry is now coming to a close. This is the last day, as John is writing here, the last day before Jesus would go and die on the cross. And when John looks back and says, in all his ministry, Jesus has been showing peculiar, revealing, saving, forgiving, patient, confirming, guiding love to his own. Having loved his own who were in the world. That's what he's been doing. And John looks forward from that point and says that Jesus will now love them to the end. He's going to show them what it looks like to truly love. He's not denying that Jesus loved the world. John 3:16, we know that, right? That God so loved the world that he would give his only begotten son. But John is talking here about his unique and special love for his people. Like a husband has a unique love for his wife. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them all the way to the end. Everything we see him doing in this chapter, in chapter 13, is a part of this love. What do we do with this love? As we see Jesus give it to his disciples in these very peculiar ways, some that they are not used to. In verse 20, we see John says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." In other words, he's saying something like this, when I send you out in my name, under my authority and my word, you represent me. You represent me in such a way that if someone welcomes you and the message that you give, they welcome me. And they welcome me, they welcome my Father. Indeed, he becomes their Father, as I have promised. To all who've received me, he would say in chapter 1, John 1, God has given the right to become the children of God. That's how I planned it. Receive my representative, receive me, receive my Father, become his children, Jesus is saying. So realize this, my disciples, I'm preparing and authorizing you for an unspeakably high calling. If someone receives you, he says to them, they receive God. There isn't a higher human calling than to represent me in this way. That's why he says that, that's where in this passage he's going to go to the climactic, weighty words where he says, truly, truly, I say, whoever receives the one I send receives me. What is the qualification of this call to go and to represent Jesus? Well, Jesus shows us this in this passage as he begins to go low to serve. Quite simply, he bends down and washes their dirty feet. Now, we all know their feet were dirty. These were disciples. They didn't have shoes. At best, they had sandals. They'd been walking around on dirt roads where animals walked and animals did other things. And yet, here we go. Jesus bends down and takes a basin of water and begins to wash their feet. As my children used to say, we know those feet stank. I never forget my youngest, Elliot, when he was 3 years old. He thought it was the funniest thing to sit in the back of the car, and he would pop his shoes off in the back seat of the car, and he would say this in his very cute little three-year-old voice, "What's that smell?" And he wanted us to play along. He wanted us to lean back and give the big sniff, and so we would. Oh man, something smells awful. And then he would just die laughing, thinking it was the funniest thing that his feet smelled awful. Now, we didn't have to pretend that much, to be honest, because he didn't wear shoes that often. He would walk around barefooted in the dirt, on the concrete, wherever he was. And so his feet really did stink most of the time. And when he would get, this is how bad it got, that when he would get out of the bathtub, there would be a ring of brown around the bathtub, and it usually came from his feet. They were bad, but this didn't compare to what Jesus was dealing with the disciples that they'd walked and been around the city that day, and they came in to sit around the table, and Jesus bends down in humility. He showed tremendous humility on the part of the Messiah to bend down a knee and show how much he loved them by doing something that typically a servant in the home would dread doing. And yet Jesus did it willingly. He showed servanthood. This servant act would be only the beginning of what the disciples would experience as they would see this suffering servant that Isaiah mentions as he hangs on the cross some 24 hours later or less. But Jesus here, as he washes the feet, gives the trajectory of what he's doing. They would have their feet washed by Jesus, and then he would move into this priestly role and show them this imagery of the breaking of bread and the breaking of his body and the shed blood through the wine that was drank. Jesus, in his highest rank, God in flesh, the Son of God, showed his humble service when he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the greatest among all, but he would do the humblest of all. And we watch Jesus in these next few verses as John describes how high Jesus really is. If you look at verse 2 and 3, it says, "During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God." This is the high king. This is the one who had come down and had all authority. His rank was unimaginable. All things were in his hands. From God he came, and from God he's going. And the world opposed him. And so the point here that John is making is that Jesus is the highest of all ranks. His rank is supremely high, and yet the ranking of this high king is to go low. To go low below the world's standards. He rose from supper, it says in verse 4, and he laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel and tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And then if we go on to verse 12 through 16, here we see Jesus gives this crystal clear explanation of what he's doing as he washes their feet. When he'd washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am." In other words, I have a high standing. I have a high rank in relationship to you. I am teacher and Lord. And if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, if I've come from the high standing and I've gone low to serve you, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You should go low too. For I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done to you. Truly, that is serving. So this is really clear that Jesus is high, his rank is high, his standing is high, and therefore by ordinary standards of this world, he should be served. But instead, he contradicts the ordinary, and he goes low. From his high standing, he goes to serve. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, once said, "Nearly every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to give something to someone else, our time, our love, or our resources to serve." The example that Jesus is setting for his disciples is to wash their feet, to serve in a way that they'd never been served before by the Messiah King. He says this in verse 15, "I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done for you, since you are not above me." And he says it in verse 16, "A servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Therefore, you have no ground to say, 'My action doesn't apply to you.' If I, the highest," Jesus would say, "have gone low, then you are to go as low as I have." Now remember, he's trying to show them the kind of person who's qualified or suitable for this high calling, this representing of him as they would go and proclaim the name of Jesus. Because if they would proclaim the name of Jesus and the people would accept them, they would accept Jesus himself. And he says here, "I'm going away, and you're about to become my representatives, my ambassadors on earth, to take my words, my salvation, my own presence to the world on my behalf. And if they receive it, they receive me." And what I want to make most clear, I think Jesus is saying is that your fitness for this role, your qualifications for this role, is that you be the kind of person who will gladly go low to serve. You step down from the privileges of high standing, whatever they might be. Or more penetrating, as Paul says it in Philippians, let your whole life have the mindset, you are a servant. In all you do, do it with a view of getting under others to lift them up, not getting over others to look down and feel superior. And so we do have this high calling. And no, we're not qualified. But Jesus has given us this high calling. He has made us clean. He has washed our feet and also called us clean by the blood of Jesus so that we can be his representatives. And so now back to this new commandment, this Nova Mandatum, the Monday of Thursday. It's really an old commandment. It's an old commandment from the very beginning, but had not been seen the way Jesus was about to show it. He would say to his disciples, "You want to know what love is? Watch what I'm about to do. There's going to be a trial. It's not going to be fair. Many lies will be said about me. Once those lies are said, the people will believe them over my testimony and my works and the love that they have experienced through me. There will be a crucifixion, and it will be terrible. In fact, it will be terrible long before I get to the cross, because I'll be beaten, spit on, mocked, scorned, and bloodied. Then, after all that, I'll go to the cross, not because I desire it, but because you need it. You need the sacrifice that only I can give to satisfy your sins. So while you are still sinners, I will die for you." That's how you love someone the way Jesus loved us. Believer, you have an amazing standing as a child of God and representative of Jesus. And because Jesus went low to serve, to not only wash their feet, but to then go to the cross. And because going low is the path of joy, and because you're completely clean, made clean by him, we don't exalt ourselves, but we humble ourselves in service to him. That means heads of households, we go low. Small group leaders, we go low. Presidents of companies and owners and supervisors and managers, we go low to serve. Moms and dads, we go low to serve. Big brothers and sisters, we go low. A students, we go low. Good athletes, we go low and humble ourselves. Christian, we go low to represent our Savior, to know his joy, and because you're completely made clean in him. Today, I call you to serve, not to be served, but to serve in the same way that Jesus did it for us, so that when we partake of this communion tonight, that we would remember he went low on our behalf so that we might be made clean. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.